If you remember, we are participating in a pulpit exchange with other churches in the valley, preaching through 2 Corinthians 4 through 5 together. This morning, Pastor Lloyd will be preaching at Faith Lutheran Church, and we have the honor of having Daniel Lambert here preaching for us. Pastor Lambert is the senior pastor of East Haven Baptist Church. He has been for about 22 years. He's married to his wife, Vicky, and they have two kids. So as Daniel comes forward, please stand for the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. It is a real privilege to be with you this morning. Would you join me in a word of prayer, and then we'll read the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this morning. It is always a privilege for us to gather in the name of our Savior Jesus for the purpose of being the church. So we congregate in this place of sanctuary today. As we've already confessed, we have needs and challenges and struggles in our lives, and we come to this part of our worship service where we have this incredible privilege of putting our lives in the presence of the living truth of your word. And we ask boldly, would you meet us at this moment? Would you encounter our lives with the truth of your word, and would you speak to us? Lord, toward that end, I pray for your people that you would give us ears to hear. And I pray for myself as your messenger that you would give me the words to share that would be your message from your word for your people who are your church. So, Father, we love you, and we're grateful to listen now to what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the passage this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 10 verses. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be taken away or take away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. May the Lord bless us in the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Well, it is good to be with you this morning. I was looking around a little bit before I walked in and realized I already owe a debt of gratitude to so many in this room. So many of you have invested in who I have been privileged to become over the last 22 years. Many of you have invested in my children's education and their lives and coaching and teaching and administrating. And it's just an incredible privilege to grow up in the Flathead Valley, isn't it? I love living here. I love being a part of this community. And I'm grateful that when you visit other churches, you can look around and instantly you know, well, we really are the body of Christ together. And it's just an incredible privilege. And I think this pulpit exchange is a great portrayal, a great demonstration of that unity that we have as the body of Christ. So thanks for putting up with me this morning. I want you to know I love the people at East Haven. They're a great group of people filled with grace. I mean, they put up with me for 22 years, so that's a great testimony right there. And I think they deserve to not have to listen to me every now and then. So I'm really glad that they got to listen to Lloyd last week and then Steve this week. I spent all last week with Steve in the Missouri Breaks elk hunting, and so I'm sure he has some new stories to tell this morning. So we'll see how that works out. So you've probably heard the one about the Presbyterian and the Lutheran and the Baptist who walked into a public library. What did you think I was going to say? You would never catch a Baptist in a pub? Are you kidding me? There might be another Baptist there would tell on him, right? Come on. Anyway, I just am so grateful to be with you, and it's just going to be fun this morning. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about myself that will lead us into our thought this morning. One thing I love to do is I love to backpack. All my adult life and my teenage life, I've enjoyed going out into the mountains. There's just something about putting everything that you need to survive on your back and venturing out into the wild and knowing that I'm going to survive with what's right here that is somewhat rewarding. It's this manly sense of adrenaline and survival and whatever. And there's a piece of me that feels more alive in those adventures than probably at any other place in my life. So 2 years ago, when my son was 15 years old, he and I, for about a year, made plans for what in the Lambert legacy we call the Great Adventure. And so he and I ventured out into the Bob Marshall Wilderness. We went in at Benchmark Trailhead on the east side of the Bob Marshall, and we, for the next 8 or 9 days, hiked across and came out at Holland Lake. It was supposed to be about a 60-mile crossing, but somebody put a forest fire right in our way, so it added about 18 miles to our trip to go around it and get back in and go across. But we had a great time. It was so great a time that we decided, well, we've done east to west, we should go south to north. So back in August of this year, we did the south to north crossing, 78 miles again, going up from Lodgepole Trailhead on the south end up to the Hungry Horse Reservoir on the north end. Great experience. Being in the Bob Marshall Wilderness is it's just incredible. I mean, it's so big, and you feel so small, and there's so much raw adventure out there to be had. And I'll tell you this, too. I've spent, I should have added this up quickly, but probably 25 days in the Bob Marshall. I've never seen a bear. I've only seen two elk. Not a good place to hunt. So we've been very protected. The Lord's kept us away from having encounters with things that would harm us. We have caught hundreds of fish. I mean, it's just been the most incredible experience of my life. I just really, really have enjoyed those great adventures with my son especially. But can I just tell you that when you backpack, you sleep on the ground in a tent. Like maybe the luxurious version is a little mat about that thick that has air in it. And you sleep on that in a tent that's really big enough for one small man, much less a little guy like me and a son who can now put his chin on my head. So when we backpack together, we sleep like this. And, you know, usually you wake up in the morning and he's right there. So I'm just saying that to tell you this. By the time 5 or 6 days have passed on a backpacking adventure, I'm ready to get home. Like, I've enjoyed it and there's a lot that I love about it. But there's nothing in me that after a week or 10 days out there thinks, man, I could just stay here forever. Like everything on me hurts by that point. I'm almost out of ibuprofen. And it's time to get back home to a comfortable bed and to my beautiful wife and to my hot tub. Things that keep me going, you know what I'm saying? Right? Are you with me there? All right, here's what I want you to think about this morning. This life is a lot like hiking across the Bob Marshall in the sense that it's only a temporary assignment. Well, there's a lot great about it. It's a great adventure. And there's a lot of cool things you got to do in this life. But the reality is we were never meant to be here forever. Right? You know that theologically. And there's something when you're backpacking that says after a few days, this has been great, but it's time to get home. Right? So I want to tell you this morning that the passage that we're going to study from gives us that message from an eternal perspective. Oh, it's great. This is a great adventure. There's a lot of cool stuff, fun things we get to do in this life. But the reality is we were not built to be here forever. There is a place we'll be forever. But brothers and sisters, this is not it. This is just like the warm-up act. So let's look together and see what we might discover about that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would sum up the message this morning by say this. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, who by grace through faith have found salvation in Jesus, we need to maintain an awareness of the temporal nature of this life and then live in faithful confidence that our real home awaits us in heaven. That's really where we belong. That's where we'll be forever. So let's see what we can learn about that. The first main point I want us to think about this morning is that the Scripture promises us we have an eternal home. We have an eternal home. So look back at the verses with me, and let's just kind of stroll through them as we study together this morning. Verse 1 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house, a tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God." Now stop there for a moment, and let's make sure we understand what that means. This earthly house, this what Paul describes as a tent, he's talking about our physical bodies in this life. So he says, if this physical body is destroyed, whether we are martyred for our faith or we just die at some point because that's the end of our journey here, whatever the point is, however it ends, when this body is destroyed, this temporal tent that we live in now, he says, we have a building from God. There is nothing in the language there that suggests that it's a hint at, or we might have. We absolutely have a building from God. He's talking about a permanent spiritual body. And the verb he uses really denotes this sense of possession, of title. Like this permanent building that God's built for us, it's been built. It's bought. It's ready for occupancy. And when the time comes for us to move in, he'll bring us the keys. Right? So there's a great picture there of what awaits us really beyond this life. So he says, we know if this earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. And listen to what he tells us about it. He says, this is a house not made with hands. All right, now stop and think about that. The one that awaits us is not one made with hands. It's, in other words, it's spiritually made. Like this whole creation was spoken into existence, right? So in the same way, our spiritual bodies are God's gift to us. He will speak them into existence, not made with hands. He also says they are eternal in the heavens. That this spiritual body that awaits us, this place where we get to go, is a place that is eternal in nature. 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, I've preached this sermon several times now, right? Like I was at the Lutheran church last week. I was at our church the week before that. I may just keep preaching this sermon until we get it for a while. But 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was first digging through this passage, I wrote down the words forever and everlasting next to the word eternal. And somewhere in my genius studying, it dawned on me that forever and everlasting end and begin in the same suffix and prefix, right? So I smooshed them together to give us a slightly bigger perspective on eternity. So I'm going to call eternal home a foreverlasting home, right? That's a Lambert word. Just made that up 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't do many things uniquely, but that's it. There you go. That's my creation for the day, right? So think about that. What I'm trying to help us understand is that our eternal home is eternal. It is foreverlasting. Like, that's big. That's forever, right? Like, I can stop and just let you soak in that for a moment, and eventually you get a little brain cramp because you can't quite get your eyes, your mind around how long forever is, because it's forever, right? That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. So Paul reminds us, he tells us of this building that God's made for us, that it is eternal, that it's not made with hands, and that he has prepared it for us. All right, now then he jumps into verse 2, and he kind of gives us a little bit of a reminder of how amazing that body is going to be compared to this one. So he says in verse 2, "And in fact, we groan in this one, longing to put on our house from heaven." Okay, so now let me just say this. If you're over the age of 40, the whole "we groan in this body" thing, you got to be saying, "Amen, brother." Right? Like, this growing old thing is not for sissies. Right? You know what I'm saying? So let me just give you an example of that. Back in April, I had a friend visiting from Lewistown. He's a builder, and I said, "Hey, Phil, I have a leak on my porch roof. Would you crawl up on top of my house and fix that leak for me?" He said, "Oh, sure, Pastor, I'll be happy to." So he crawls up there, and I watched him go up the ladder to the second story of my house. I guess, I don't know, it seems like it's 170 feet up there, 20-something feet. And he disappeared over the top of the ladder, and he was gone for a few minutes, and then he came back, and he stood on the edge, and he said, "Come up here, I need to show you something." And I said, you know, I don't really want to go up there. And he said, no, come up here. Like, let me just tell you something. When you're this size, that's a long way up there, okay? So I grabbed the ladder and I scaled the mountain and I got up there. And here's what we discovered. Every step I took, shingles shattered under my feet. Like they were just crumbling away. And he said, your problem is not a leak on your porch. Your problem is that your whole roof has been compromised. You need a new roof. And I said, oh, that's bad, right? So I said, well, can you fix that? He said, well, let me work up a bid for you. So he worked up a bid, a friendly bid for me. That was $13,500. And then he said, now you can get a normal bid from somebody else. It's going to be closer to 15 or 16 or more. And I said, I just want the roof replaced, not the house, right? So here's what that meant. $13,000 immediately meant, oh, this is a do-it-yourself project. So in May, I started roofing this summer. And by the abundant grace of God, 2 weeks ago, I finished. Now, let me tell you, there's a recommended daily allowance of ibuprofen you can take. There's also probably a recommended summer allowance you can take. And I'm pretty sure I was way past that summer allowance point. I have roofed all summer long. So when I read, we groan in this tent, let me tell you something. There's a lot in me that says, oh, yeah, I get the groaning in this tent, right? There's nothing about me that thought, this roofing is fun. This is great. I can bend over and touch my ankles all day long. This is fabulous. No. This was painful and agonizing. Like, there was a lot of moments when I was up there that it was, like, I said to the Lord several times, if I'm going to fall off of here, I don't want to survive. Like, I don't want to lay there on the grass at the bottom and be all crumbled up and have to recover for months. I'd just like to be home. Let's be done, right? It also dawned on me, here's the moment, that these are 30-year singles I'm putting on. Stop and think about that. I'm 49 years old. Do you know what that means? You do the math. Buddy, I'm not ever roofing again in this life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's never going to happen again. Hallelujah. All right, so the point was we were groaning, right? So you understand what that means? He's saying, you know what it's like in this body. Like, we groan now, and we groan now because we're looking ahead and we're longing to put on a house from heaven, one that was designed to be permanent, not one that's just temporal. All right, so verse 3, since when we are clothed, when we put on that eternal, we will not be found naked. Literally, when we are clothed by God forever in His righteousness with this permanent spiritual body that He gives us, we will never be found wanting again. In contrast to this word naked, which gives us an obvious picture of something that's exposed or unprotected or vulnerable. And that's the reality of the spiritual body that awaits us. It's forever. It's radically different than this one. Verse 4, indeed, we who are in this tent groan, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed. We want what lasts forever. And then get this last phrase. In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the end of verse 4 says, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Let me read that for you again. So that mortality may be swallowed up by life. This life is eternal life, the one that lasts forever lasting, right? So Paul is saying to us, wow, there will come a point for us in Christ when what waits for us forever will swallow up that which is temporal. It'll be gone forever because we will last forever in something completely different. The Message translation of that verse says this, compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. Right? I like that. So, get that. And then verse 5, and the one who prepared us for this very thing is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. All right, so don't miss that. This groaning thing here, The promise of something that's totally different, that will last forever, that's all God's plan. He was the one who designed it just like that. He designed us like this. He designed us so that we would hurt. He designed us so that we would struggle, not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. He designed this life to be temporal. And he put things into the package of this life that would nag us and remind us, hey, there's something way better ahead of us. Don't forget to look at that. Because what's here is not meant to last forever, right? So that's part of God's design for the whole thing. And he gave us the Spirit as a down payment. The Spirit as a down payment in the home, and that's what it says. This down payment is like a down payment on a house. It's something that you put up front, an investment up front that reminds the person, hey, I'm good for this. I'm going to keep paying until it's paid off, until you get it all back, right? So that's the Holy Spirit for us now, that picture of we have a portion of God's presence in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less or be satisfied that this is it. Because this is not it. What awaits us forever, that's it. This is only temporary. What's eternal is still coming. So there's an eternal home. That's the promise of this. This is just a stopover on the way, if you will. In the same way that when I'm sleeping in a tent and wake up about the third or fourth morning and think, man, I'm going to be glad to get back home. There ought to be something in us on a regular basis that says, yeah, this is good, but I'm going to be really ready to get back home. Really home forever. So the first thing is we have an eternal home. That's God's promise to us. And it comes with a different body, one that's better, one that lasts forever. That's a good thing as well. So don't miss that. And then the last half of this passage, just real quickly, reminds us that we have an eternal promise from God and a purpose for our lives. So look back at verse 6. He says, therefore, which ought to make us kind of look back and say, well, what's that there for? What does that remind us of? So therefore, because we have this eternal home awaiting us in Christ, though we are always confident and know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. Okay, so understand our current circumstances. We are stuck here in this body, and while we are here, we are separated from the Father, meaning we're not physically in His presence. So how do we do this? Well, while we're here away from Him, He says in verse 7, you walk by faith, not by sight, right? So that's how we do this, by faith, by confidence in His promise, in the hope of Him following through with what He says, not by what's seen, but by what is known of God. That's different. Now, after verse 7, parenthetically, there's this verse 7.5 that says, oh, and by the way, that's going to flip-flop when you leave this body and you are at home with the Lord. So verse 6 tells us that we know that while we're here in this body, we're away from the Lord. Verse 8 says, yet we're also confident and satisfied that when we are out of this body, we'll be at home with the Lord. And parenthetically, verse 7.5 that we missed says, and then you'll no longer walk by faith. There you'll walk by sight, because the one you've had faith in will be visible to you. You'll see Him. Faith no longer required, right? Because we're there with Him. Hang on to that. I'll let you chew on that a little bit. All right, so here's the question that really answers for us, verse 8 there. We're confident, we're satisfied. When we're gone from this body, we're at home with the Lord. You know, that's this question. What happens to you as a follower of Jesus Christ when you die? There it is. You're no longer in this body, so where are you? Well, very simply, we are at home with the Lord. Can I just tell you that, in my opinion, in the grand scheme of all of life, there's one thing that absolutely must be settled in the heart of every person. This is it. What happens to you when you die? You got to have an answer to that question. Got to have it, right? And we know it's grace, but we can be at home with the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ, right? So that's the one thing, that's the one promise that we've got to have, that we've got to hang on. And really, if you've got that one, there's nothing else in life that ever shakes the foundation of who you are, right? Nothing else ever matters, because we know that when we're not here, we're there. That's the cornerstone of the faith of our lives. The New American Standard Version of the Bible says that we can be of good courage when we have that, right? We are assured, we are contented, we are fulfilled. Verse 9 says, therefore, based on this promise, based on the reality that not being here means being there, verse 9 says, whether we are at home or away, so whether it's here and now or then and there, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. Okay, now stop and think about that. That means that the purpose of our life now and the purpose of our life then really are the same. Our aim is to be pleasing to the Lord. Right? That's your purpose, to please the Lord. I don't know if you've read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, who sold gazillions of copies of that book. But chapter 1, first sentence of the whole book says this: it's not about you. And really, that's what Paul is saying. The aim of your life is not for you to be happy. The aim of your life is not for you to find contentment and fulfillment other than in Christ. Our aim, our purpose, is to be pleasing to Him now and forever. That's His promise. That's His challenge to us. So that's our target. That's our aim, to live to honor Him, to reflect His glory in the world, to be on His agenda. Because as soon as you leave here and you go to be with Him, there's one more thing these verses tell us that we need to know. We need to know this, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Do you know who is included in all? Right? You get that? That's pretty inclusive. That's all of us appearing at that judgment seat. Now, I don't really know theologically how this works out. I don't want to confess my shortcomings, but here you go. I don't know how that works out. Like, I absolutely believe that by faith in Christ, we're going to get there, and we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter now into the reward of your master. It's going to go that way. But somewhere in the process, we're going to answer for how we lived this life. We're going to be rewarded there for how we lived here. So I'm telling you that to say this: what you do now matters forever. Don't miss that. Now, I don't know if that means like you get a pup tent down by the river, or you live in a mansion up on the hill. I'm not sure how that all pans out. That's above my pay grade. But here's what I do know. You get there by faith, by grace, right? That's the sovereign Lord working. We get that. But when we get there, we answer for how we lived now. Were we aiming our lives at being pleasing to Him? And if we were, there's a little something special in it for us. That kind of makes me excited. It also kind of makes me sobered a little bit and says, maybe I better make sure that I don't forget that this isn't about me. It really is about Him. So be attentive to that promise. So the reality is, we can and we should live this whole life with our goal to be pleasing to Him. Really, that means that we live with our eyes gazing up towards heaven while we are striving to be pleasing to our Savior. God promised that when we leave this body, we will be with Him. God promised that. He called us to make it our aim to live our lives for Him. That's our purpose. So we should be asking ourselves regularly, what would the Lord have me do today? How is it that I can aim my life today at giving Him glory and honor? And am I living in light of this eternal promise, with this eternal purpose? Well, let's wrap up with this. Let me just say, Christian, we can face every day with the absolute assurance that our lives are in the hands of God. Right? We know that.
And so we can know from this passage that on the day when the Lord comes to get us, whether it's a heart attack or whether we just grow old and pass, whatever it is, on that day we can know that when we are absent from this body in this life, by faith we are present with Him in the next one. That's all that matters. There's a great sense and source of encouragement and promise for us there. Hang on to that. Be encouraged by that. When we are absent from this body, we are present with the Lord. Do you know, the first week I preached this message back at East Haven, during that week, four different people in our church experienced deaths in their immediate family. You know, as a pastor, those are still hard calls. Somebody calls and says, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know my sister passed away. I wanted to let you know that my husband passed away last night about 9. I got four of those in the course of 3 days, and then the next day I preached this message. It's pretty encouraging to me that God prepared me for those four phone calls in a row by having me be reminded again, hey, it's okay. By faith, through grace, man, they're okay. We lose, we're saddened, we're sorrowful, we grieve, but they win. In Christ, they win, and in Christ, we win. Hang on to that promise. You see, we need to strive daily to maintain an awareness of the temporal nature of this life. We live in the confidence and assurance that our real home awaits us just over the horizon. So I would encourage you with this. Don't waste time on things that don't and won't matter on this temporary housing situation that we're in now. But let's invest ourselves in the things that do matter. Let's live today and every day for what matters forever. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the time to study in your word this morning. It's a privilege for us to worship, and then it's a privilege for us to study. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. Thank you for its guidance to us and the promise it gives us and the reminder of purpose that it gives us. May we each go away from this moment in this service, having heard from you and being challenged about how we will live the rest of today and tomorrow and even the rest of our lives. Thank you for truth. Guide our lives with it. In Jesus' name.